of those things have been debunked, you know, have been, you know, over and over and over again. And after a while, you wonder, do they just make this stuff up next week? Now, move to the quickly to a conclusion. In large measure, and by the way, I have, and maybe some of you sitting here, and I know I'll probably offend some people with this, but I have believers that I've known for a long time that make a place for evolution. And the deeper you get into this, though, and I think in large measure, I think that's from ignorance that they make place for that. Because when presented with the facts, well, let's look at what we can actually observe. Christians are accused, you know, particularly people who do not subscribe to evolutionary theory, subscribe to creationism, they are accused of saying, well, it's you just have it's your religion and you're having faith that that's true. Well, brothers and sisters, look at evolution. If that doesn't require a huge amount of faith and somebody coloring in for me pictures again and again and again and again. And it has been so persistent that that theory, which, you know, in large measure, its design is to move God out of our lives, it has affected every other part, all the other disciplines. Academic, I hadn't got time to go through all that today, but it has affected all the other academic disciplines, that one theory. And we see, but it gets back to man's basic desire to be king of his world and move God out, which then you move into the third chapter of Genesis, and what do you see? You see the fall. You see man choosing. I'm going to choose to move. I'm going to ignore what God has said to me, and I'm going to choose this other way. Just to show you how much the, by the time you get to the third chapter of Genesis, you have the story of redemption being played out. Verse 15, somebody read it for us. Put enmity between you and the woman. He's speaking to the evil one. You and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now, how can I say the redemption story is seen here in Genesis 3:15? Come on, And because it says the seed of the woman, her seed. Her seed means nothing, right? In natural law, her seed means you have to have also the seed of the man. Except in one case, virgin birth. So back to those people who want to give away certain parts of our doctrine and say, oh, well, maybe not that. No, you can't give away any part of it because it all fits together. Here it is. Her seed. So, and he, her seed, he, antecedent to he is her seed. So he, who is he? Yeshua, Jesus himself, Son of God. He shall, the evil one is going to have his head crushed. But what is he going to do to the seed of the woman, to Jesus? Bruises his heel. Yes, he does die. Jesus does die. But what happens 3 days later? rise from the dead. Right here. There it is. There's an example of a point I made about the doctrines. You can look at the rest of them. Now, does that make a difference? Does it make a difference in our culture right now? Let me ask you about marriage. The one man and one woman, that picture of marriage and social order that is presented in Genesis, is that being attacked today? At every juncture. So you have a teaching here about a principle, but a principle that when acted out has teeth in it. And so we can't give up any of these. Now, the picture in Genesis is of God creating everything. He creates the whole earth. Did God create dinosaurs? How long ago were dinosaurs on this earth?
Long time ago.
You see, when you start using the word million, what does that allow you to do? Anything you want. Because you can construct your own reality. You can construct reality, reconstruct reality better than a teenage boy on Sunday morning explaining what he did on Saturday night. I mean, it gets all creative. You can put this in here and you can move it around and we can change our textbooks every year because this theory's come along and this theory. And it's all theories. It's all poof, up in smoke. When I was 22, 23 years old, I was a student at Southwestern Seminary. I became the youth director and recreation director at the North Fort Worth Baptist Church. Wow. We went down. Oh, it is wow. I mean, I'm glad. Woo. I've been waiting to say that just so you'll be. Wow, man, I'm impressed by that. That would depress some people, but it impresses Daniel. So I took my youth on a retreat to Glen Rose, Texas. Just about, about an hour, hour and a half away from Fort Worth. And I decided to take them over to a state park for a little outing. And just so they can run off some of their energy. And there's a river that runs through the state park there. And it's the Paluxy River. Any of y'all ever been there? I'm the only one that's been there. Well, I noticed something. I didn't know anything about the park. I got to walking in this riverbed, and there's rock in the riverbed. And I discovered something. And I finally paid attention. There was a sign there that said something about dinosaur tracks. Have you seen this before? All right. So, Johnny, you want to put that up? Maybe you want to look back there. Turn around and look at that one. You can see it better. In the riverbed, there are these tracks. Now, you can't say, I'm going to give you a close-up of some of the ones that I walked in. See how big those tracks are? And nobody has any trouble. Nobody in the scientific world, on whatever side of the fence you're on, thank you very much, has any trouble with saying there are dinosaur tracks there. They're huge. And I walked them, and it was some kind of sauropod dinosaur, huge animal, they say, was walking there and made those tracks. Okay? And you could measure the gait just like today. You could look at Finley's gait and predict from that about how tall Finley is. You could look at my gait and predict about how tall I am. Well, same with an animal. Four-legged animal, do the same thing. So some kind of sauropod. But here's where it gets interesting. Right beside the dinosaur tracks is this track. Let's count those toes. All right, let's go. You know, we'll count them like Mr. Ed. How many was that? How many is on there? Okay. And I walked, the guy you're looking at, walked in these human tracks. I did it. I'm not reading it in a book. I'm not giving somebody speculation. I'd never heard of this place before. I came up on it by accident. And I'm walking in the church. I say, man, that person must have been about 6 foot tall. Not one track, but many tracks. All in that riverbed, side by side. Let me ask you. If you were just a normal scientist looking for evidence, wouldn't you consider this? Wouldn't that be something that you consider? I sure would. But, like in our political system, if you already have a conclusion about something, and you're designing all of your evidence to fulfill what your conclusion was. Now, well, you know, evolution is a multi-billion dollar industry. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? All these, writing the books, having whole school. For someone to say these, the hardest thing to say in a marriage is three words. I was wrong. Hey, that translates over into science, doesn't it? I want to tell to say, get up there and admit, I was, it has to be four words, an idiot. I was a pedantic, self-serving, money-grubbing, and right now, and you understand, I wonder, the moment when Mr. Billions and Billions, who was that, Carl? I wonder, the moment life passed out of his body, I wonder what that was like. I've had my ladder up against the wrong wall all this time. I guess today I want to say to you that, I know there are other theories that people have, interpretation, but I want you to know mine today. I subscribe to a young earth theory. I believe that God did speak this world into existence. And I go back to Genesis 1:1. If he can't do that, then he can't save me. All that, you work backward and look at it, and you look at the evidence. Now here's another thing that we've discovered. I'll have to show you all this at another time, but Marco Polo's journals. Do you know that the Khan actually had what he describes as animals that we would describe today as dinosaurs during that time? Do you know that there are inscriptions around the world that have that look just like a stegosaurus? Do you know that every culture on the earth has some kind of dragon? We call it a myth. Well, where did that come? And of course, I know I'm dragging out a lot, but I don't look at the layers of the earth as in a uniformitarianism kind of way. I look at those layers as having been formed by a great climactic event that took place in the earth, i.e. the flood. And we see the settlement, and we see that. You have to be careful what your assumptions are. Now, why would I bring that up to you? Because I want you to see that and not cash it in on creation. Because gradually, they're trying to take away every... Because does this matter? Let me ask you. Does the creation issue matter? I've heard Christians say to me, well, you know, Pastor, really, you know, we're here. It doesn't matter. And like one guy says, you know, he believed God just, as man evolved, that God just picked one out and said, I'll start with him. We'll call him Adam, you know, after it evolved. I'm thinking, how can you think that if you believe God can do anything? Here's one issue, one huge issue that we're struggling with in our society that is directly linked to creation. Well, in fact, there are several issues there. Do you know that this idea of the sanctity of a human life, people that subscribe to a creationist viewpoint of the world have a totally different view of sanctity of life, those who do not. Can you see that? Can you see it in the world? I mean, if you really do believe that God breathed into man and he became what? A living soul. He wasn't just alive physically, he was alive spiritually. But you move on to the other issue. You could do away with spousal abuse, child abuse, if people subscribe to applied creation. I'm not talking about nutcases that are over here, you know, yeah, I believe this, and then their activity bespeaks another belief. I'm talking about consistency. I'm talking about Hebrew thought, where what you say is what you act out in your life. That's just one issue that issues out of this creationist thought. So be careful about giving away those issues. We need to stand on the issues and apply them in our life. I'm not giving you this stuff so you can go to work tomorrow and you know, your family, so you can argue with them about that, because a lot of that, you know, spitting in the ocean to watch the tide rise. You know, unless somebody's ready to discuss that with you. I mean, you can pick a fight with anybody any day and alienate all those people. And I'm saying to you, be driven by the Holy Spirit. And when the opportunity comes, well, let me show you some evidence. Let me show you some things that may have happened. And historically, you look back, and there is evidence that man and dinosaurs walked together. Job chapter 40 and Job chapter 41 speaks of two of those, what I believe are dinosaurs. You remember what their names are? Leviathan and Behemoth. I was reading this guy. He had so many letters behind his name. And reading him, and he's talking about Behemoth and what Scripture says there about, and he's saying that Behemoth is a hippo. Another one says he's an elk. Well, he swings his tail like a cedar. What does a cedar look like? That little squiggly thing on the end of that hippo sure doesn't look like that to me. So come on. What's he describing? I mean, it's plain. You're reading in Job 40 and Job 41. And what Job was doing, God was taking Job around to show him the marvelous things of the earth. So why wouldn't he go out and show him these superlatives of size? It just makes sense. It fits into the context of it. So he's showing him this tremendous animal. Why wouldn't you believe? And now with artificial intelligence, I mean, you run this out. You get the conclusions that come out of it. Artificial intelligence and robotics. You see where the line is smudging? Yes, sir. Between that which is human and that which is not, and before long, people are seeing them the same. Already doing it with video games. Already doing that with that, what do they call that? Virtual reality. I remember years ago when Keith Niger was starting the Barnabas Center, mm-hmm. We were putting together a statement of belief for them. And I asked him, and I said, man, you really need to put a statement of belief out there. And of course, that served them very well as time has gone forward, because there are issues you're going to have to face. The computer world was just starting to gain momentum, and I remember saying to him one day, I said, just think when people can do virtual reality, what issues that's going to open up to the world. And we're seeing it right now. We're seeing the smudging of that kind of difference. And not knowing that it's God that has breathed into man, he's become a living soul. This makes a difference in our lives. Now I encourage you in the people in your life that you have to encourage them. Encourage them in the Word to understand what the Word says, and not be so prone to just give things up and say, well, you know, we really don't have anything to say that. There are numerous scientists now that subscribe to a divine design, to a creationist viewpoint. Many, many have come out of the closet. It's cost them. It's cost them dearly. All right, got time for one or two comments. Yeah. How about all the other creatures that are extinct today? How about some creatures that were alive when you were a child? They're no longer. And hey, the bald eagle came that close to being totally extinct in the United States. But. All right. So where did all that water come from that fell out of the sky? You know, one scientist says, like God pricked the atmosphere and the water And yes, you would in that kind of environment where ferns could grow. You know, we found these fossilized ferns. They're just tremendous size. Anyway, all right. I hope I've caused you to think today. Let's pray. Now, Lord, anything that we've said today that's not of you, we ask that you would strike it, let it fall to the ground, and not be resurrected. But everything, Lord, that we've said that is of you, let it pierce our hearts. Lord, may your word live in us as you do, Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for our next service. Pray, Lord, we put it all before you and say, come, come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.